in the, we're still in winter, the way it is. But I'm a positive person. By the end of this, by Monday next week, it'll be February, and we can say next month is spring. So we got to think positive. So it's good to see you, Trevor. I see Trevor here tonight. That's good to see you. And it's good to see Pat. Good to see Chrissy. And is it Deborah and Cooper? Ah, got it. All right. So it's good to see you, everybody else. It's good to see you all here tonight, yeah. So we're going to be in the book of Acts tonight. I'm going to run through this. Sometimes the pastor has styles of preaching and usually has like five or six different styles tonight, but styles of preaching. But tonight I'm going to run through some extra verses tonight just because we need to. And because I think that this story helps us to understand what's going on. I want you to hear one theme tonight over and over. And there'll be some other things as well. But I want to tell you that sometimes the cost of helping people, sometimes the cost of helping a person is a costly one. Okay? So sometimes when you want to, as a believer, you are helping someone, there is a cost to it. And sometimes they don't pay the price, but you do. That's a tough lesson to learn. And we're going to see that. But we got to get the backstory first. That's in Acts chapter 15. I'm going to skim through a couple of verses, but our main character tonight, what we're going to read on, is definitely Paul. And Paul had some good guys around him. Paul had a guy named Barnabas. Barnabas was a great guy, good encourager. He's a guy you want to be around. You get a bad day, get around Barnabas. Not having a good day, get around Barnabas. Barnabas was this guy who was an encourager. He was a rock. He was solid. He was also not afraid to stand there and go at it with Paul a little bit. So, as I said, I'm going to read some scriptures tonight. And as we get there, in Acts chapter, a little bit of 15, but definitely all 16. Father, Lord, as we break into your word, our hearts be open. May our ears be open. For your word says sometimes we have ears, we do not hear. We have eyes, we do not see. But tonight, Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have for us in your word. For it's in Christ's name. Amen. We see in 34, it says, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. But in 35, it says, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back to visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and seen how they are doing. It's always good to go back to see where you were. If you have a history in other churches and to see how things are going, there's always good people to see. It's always a good piece to be able to do that. You can't always do that. But in verse 37, it says, now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So there's a part that they're becoming, there's a difference in their how they view Mark. Do you know that there's a difference how everybody views you, good or bad? And when it comes to ministry, you are kind of lined up and people make a call about you and the ministry and how you do it. And this is one of those moments. Mark's not in the room, but Paul and Barnabas are. And sometimes you're not in the room and people talk about you. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but they want to talk. Are you ready for ministry? Are you ready to go out here? Mark, something happened, and John, they call Mark, kind of left them. And Paul says, he left us high and dry, dude. He left us high and dry in the middle of our ministry. He left us high. Barnabas is the encourager. He's always going to think the positive. But he's here now. You know, he's here now. Some of you had that conversation with me about others. Why is this person doing that? I can't believe you. We want this person to do that and this person. That ministry is too big for them. So let's just say this tonight. When we had that conversation, we weren't the first ones. That it is in the Bible. Here's how tough it got. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. I got to go. We're going to go. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Barnabas was holding his ground. Paul was holding his ground. They both had this one thing in common, which is awesome. They love Jesus. You couldn't take that out of them. But can I tell you this? You're not always right in ministry. I'm not always right in ministry. We try to find common ground, but there's going to be times when we're not going to agree. Now, what's awesome about these men is it says they departed, but it doesn't say they stayed apart. They went off into ministry, but they came back. They saw each other again, and they were fine. And in fact, in future scriptures, Paul is saying, listen, get Mark. Use this guy. Bring him back. So there's a part there. So we know Mark must have did some good things because Paul would not want him back in the future, and he does. But at this moment, we're not there yet. He is saying, so this contention started going. So Paul chose Silas, and they departed. And one went off one way, and one went off the other. This is the beginning of some really awesome stuff. You've got to start to see some new names. In chapter 16, you're going to see Timothy, this young guy who's got a good name about him. And it says in verse 1, it says, then he came to Deborah and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So they had some other things, and there was some circumstances. There's all kinds of little things going on there. But that's not where I was just saying what it is God has a way of picking people up. God has a way of putting people in. They wanted to take Mark, so they didn't take Mark. He ended up taking Silas. Paul did, and he also picked up this guy named Timothy. This is a young Timothy, okay? I'm going to skip a few verses. And it says, as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So they shared some things that they should do, shouldn't do. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased number daily. Great things were happening. Great things were happening. Sometimes great things happen in our ministries. I love it when good things happen in ministry. I think there are really some really good things happening right now in our ministry. Some of those things are in the back. Some of those things are in the front. But it says what they've done is they're going through some places. They've left this place, now they're going through some places. But it says in the end of 6, it says there, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Want to go to Asia, but God shuts the door. Now God is a good door opener and a good door closer. He shuts doors that no one can shut. And he opens doors no one can open. And sometimes when he closes a door and we try to open it up, we can get ourselves in a mess. But here it says here they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Can't go that way. Now, sometimes when you have a problem with someone in ministry or a Christian brother or sister and you didn't take care of it, now the scripture doesn't tell us this, but you can almost kind of sense this, that Paul can't get into Asia. Holy Spirit's just not working. And then the next place they try, it says, and they came to Mysia, and they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit would not let them go there either. And sometimes when your ministry feels like it comes to a halt, you start processing something from the pack that you didn't deal with. Make sense? When you're not in the ministry, you're in the ministry, but it's not working for you, you will process some things from the past that you struggled with. Okay? Sometimes at these moments, we feel that maybe we've made a mistake. Sometimes it feels like we made a mistake. And we feel like sometimes that God's not working because a door closed. Okay. Another door closed. But I can tell you this, when you are a Christian and you're working in ministry, when a door shuts and another door shuts, that just means this, God has something else in store, that's all. You're not meant to go there, at least right now. There were times when doors were closed for Paul, but then later on it opened up. There was a timepiece. But what happens is he has a vision. In Macedonia, he had this vision about a guy that was standing there and his vision him and was from Macedonia and says, come help us. Okay. Sometimes when a door is closed and another door is closed, you just keep doing what God's called you to do, and in that moment, he'll show you what you need to do. Maybe not always what you want to do, but what you need to do. So what he does is they end up going there, and they end up meeting some people, and they meet this woman named Lydia. Now, verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be a faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So they're going to stay there. They found some people down by the riverside, some people. They began to pray, began to share good news, led some people to the Lord. They baptized, and they're doing their thing. Remember the vision. Remember the vision. Somebody's standing there, please help us. Okay? Please help us. You would think, well, that's it. That's awesome. Okay? These are people that knew the Lord, but maybe didn't know Christ, but knew the Lord, and they were trying to figure it out. And they go in and they share the gospel. They receive Christ. They get baptized. Now they're fellowshipping with them. And then what happens in verse 16? Now listen, when I believe this, I believe with all my heart. When someone is a believer and they walk into a city, I believe the darkness of that community knows it. Now it happened as we went, in verse 16, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So here we have a slave girl. So we know that this was pretty much a young woman, there's a young girl who's a slave and is more like a witch. And beginning to follow Paul. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out. Now there's a crowd of, Paul has some guys with him. We know one of those guys is what? Silas, Timothy, Paul himself. You'd be looking at it, he says, us. We know the writer of this book is Luke. So there's some guys in this group. And he says, the girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. I want to tell you, sometimes when we are maybe doing ministry, but we're not in the spirit, we're not doing it for the right reasons, we won't catch this. Because we're only looking for numbers. We won't catch this because, ooh, they said Jesus, or, ooh, these people follow God. We won't catch these types of things. I believe that this young girl who's this young witch fortune-telling person who's making money for her masters, I believe there was a darkness trying to move into this group of people using the right words. I'm a believer, Jesus, God, those kind of things. But what do we see? We see this woman interrupting prayer time. We see this woman where it says this. She says, this girl followed us and cried out. She cried out. She was louder than Paul and them. She was overcasting her voice. She was interrupting what they were doing. Some people would think, oh, that's great. That's just somebody in the spirit. Listen, not everybody who calls on the Lord knows the Lord. We have to be careful because so many people get sidetracked, and this is supposed to be an altar, not a stage. There's times I may have used that word, but in the word, it's supposed to be a altar, not a showboat concert. You don't come to watch the show. My goal is not to get you to jump up and shout hallelujah, amen, and be louder the next week and try to get louder the next week, because if you try to do that, you'll never get to that, because that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be deciphering the word. We're supposed to be in prayer. There's moments where we can raise our hand because we just do. There's a joyfulness in the Lord. There's a moments where we can lift two hands. There's a moments where we can get on our knees and cry out to God. There's a moment where we're going to be kind of still in the service. And we're going to be still because He is God. But this woman was not of their group, but seeing the right words. They know the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. Paul was getting tired of it. It was interrupting. You ever get interrupting? And he was greatly annoyed, and he turned and he said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of here." And he came out that very hour. Do you understand what we just read? This was a girl. This was a girl who was demonically possessed, because the Scripture says, "And he came out that very hour." One person, two spirits. Spirit of the person and the spirit of the demonic. Two into one. And he calls that out, how? Not in Paul's name, but in Jesus Christ, in the name. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ. And now what people do is they run around doing this today in pulpits, out there making show, having people come in. But let me just give you a little side note. This is how they do this. They already had people plucked out there already. This is the same people, change their hair color, change their hairstyle. If you go back and look at the videos, many of them are just the same old people. Different clothes, they dress them up differently. Same thing when they fall out and laying in the Spirit on. Listen, you need to be wise. Your eyes can deceive you, but God's Word never will. This is how much you need to understand. We're not going in this direction, but you need to understand the Holy Spirit's voice. Paul knew it. He called it out, and here it is. When you do that, when you step out in faith and you step out in the power of Christ, all of a sudden, everything dark is going to turn on you. And it does. Verse 19, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, see, there's some about all, look at me, there's some that's just all about the money. And they're losing all the profit was gone. They seized Paul and Silas. They dragged those two. They left the others alone, but they dragged those two. Going to make an example out of these guys. And they took the two strong leaders. And they took Paul and Silas and they dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. That's what they did. And then they brought them out to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." They already knew who they kind of were. Been around a couple of days, word gets around. "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them. Let me tell you, people get in crowds for nothing. They don't need a reason to get into a crowd. That's how darkness just pulls people, because darkness has many people live in darkness. And let me tell you, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, darkness can, I'll just say it this way, Satan and demons can use you any way they please. You're not protected by the Holy Spirit. You don't have Jesus Christ in your life. Here it is, another crowd. You'll see that in the book of Acts all the time. Crowds got all up. They want to go out there and throw Jesus off a cliff. They want to turn around and they do all kinds of things. They stone Stephen. The crowds get together all the time. They were chasing Paul. They were chasing Peter. These crowds got together all the time, and they were unbelievers. Believers were always in the homes praying. Believers were always working the ministries, not tearing down people, helping people. And so what they did was they tore their clothes in verse 22, and they commanded them to be beaten with rods. So now they tore off their clothes and they take these big old sticks and they beat them down. They beat them, okay? Which means at the end of that, there is welts on their back and their shoulders, and probably welts maybe across the front, and probably a few welts. I'm remembering, you ever get whipped by a switch right in the back of the leg? Some of y'all that are, that can burn for days. Man. But they were beaten in front of the crowds. And it says when they had laid many many stripes on them. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he pulled them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Some version says between the woods, so they could be where they were sitting, or it could be where they were standing, and they really couldn't move their legs. It didn't matter. They weren't moving anyway. Whether they were sitting or possibly standing, they were in the middle. They were arrested because they did what they did, and the crowd did. They were in a tough spot. Let me tell you, when you get into a tough spot, this is what happens in your mind. Many Christians will do this. Now, why am I here? What did I do to cause this? God left me. God left me. Where is God? I don't feel him. Where is he at? This isn't supposed to happen. I'm supposed to be blessed through what I'm doing for God. I'm only supposed to be blessed what I'm doing. What did I tell you in the beginning? Sometimes when you help people or a person, it will cost you more than you ever think it's going to cost. So you have to know why you're doing it. You have to do it because not to see the person change, even though that's what you might want to see, or you're helping person, or you're sharing the gospel, or you're doing whatever it is, but that can't be the final piece. It has to be that you're doing it because God called you to do it. Because nothing else will keep you standing. All the other things, people will let you down, but God will not. And they're there in the inner prison. We'll take these guys back into the inner part. They won't even get any sunlight. We'll take care of these guys. And what the scripture tells us, a lot of guys have preached on this, on these two verses. I've preached on them a lot myself back in the day. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Here's what it is. I will tell you this. When you preach or you teach and you don't think nobody's listening, listen, people are listening. Because people are living in a world of darkness. They may not want to talk about death. They may not want to talk about their problems and their situations. They're looking for hope. They don't want to admit it. But when they start to hear things, they listen. And so and it's a captive audience. They're not going anywhere. They're all there. Paul, and it didn't matter if Paul could sing or not, or Silas could sing or not. They broke out in some praise. They started praying. It's not what would be normal. Something about music, singing. Listen, I love some of the contemporary songs. I love some of the praise and worship songs, but there are some of those, when I get into a moment where I can kind of get distressed, I'm going to tell you, this works for me. I never go to a contemporary song. I'm just saying. I go to Because He Lives. I can face tomorrow. It is well within my soul. Standing on the promises of God. Oh my gosh, they're all coming back to me now. Have thy own way, Lord. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And in those moments when it's dark around you and it looks like there's no way out, and I mean, Satan has got the chains on, and I mean, you are not going anywhere, and all you got is a voice, and what you end up doing is not cursing, but you end up praising God. You do it through prayer, and you do it through singing, and listen, God knows where you are at all times. And even when you look like you're in the dark hole of Satan's tomb himself, God is there, and he shows himself, because listen, God had a vision, and that vision hasn't come to light yet. I'm telling you, if God called you to do something, it's going to happen. The vision was that there's a man standing there saying, help, come, help us. And it wasn't just about the people that believed in God down by the riverside. And what it is, we see, suddenly there was a great earthquake. How's that happen? That's the Lord doing what only the Lord can do. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Woo, that sounds good. God is freeing us. Listen, what I tell you earlier, our eyes can deceive us. It wasn't about being free. It was about seeing the awesomeness of praise and singing and prayer, the awesomeness of God showing himself in the room that I'm not just here, but I am here. And I'm going to show myself just some power. Foundations shake. All the prison doors fly open. And all the chains fall off. That's awesome. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because we know in the Roman law that if a person guarding prisoner, if he loses one prisoner, then he has to give his life for that life. So if one prisoner escapes, then he has to stand there and they will get. Listen, those individuals we know that guarded the tomb with Jesus, they didn't make it. They did some lying and they were done, because they needed to be. They put them out. He wanted to kill himself. But you know, a lot of people want to do that. They get to a dark place in their life. They panic. They don't know which way to go. They don't know which way to turn. All they know is laws of the land. They know nothing about God's laws, God's promises. They focus on the laws of the land. I'm dead. I don't want them to kill me. I'm going to go through pain and punishment. I'll just take care of myself because I know that's the law. That's the rule that I go by. That's what I have to do. He's in a dark place. He was in a darker place right now than those prisoners ever were. You see, what happened is we see this place is dark in there, but light came into that room. Light came into that prison, and that light was shining off Paul and Silas. But Paul called out in a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Nobody took off. I think they were kind of like, what's going on? God didn't let any of them, none of them took off. Maybe they wanted to see God do something else. Because I think hearts were being turned in that prison right now. They heard the praying. They heard the singing. They saw the power of God. And I think they saw leaders in that prison. I think they saw two leaders named Paul and Silas. Let's follow them. They didn't go anywhere. Then he called for a light. It's dark. He called for a light. Then he called for a light and ran in. And he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. This doesn't make any sense. Here's the guard, and he's running for a light so he can find Paul and Silas. He knows it. He heard the singing all night. We're going to find out here in just a second. But he falls down, and right in front of Paul and Silas. Guards don't fall down to prisoners. Prisoners fall before guards. And he falls before them, and he has this one word. He says this, and he brought them out, and he said, he brings them out of that darkness, and he says, "Sirs," not prisoners. Did you get that? Not prisoners, sirs. He's showing respect. What guard show respect like that? He's showing respect. "What must I do to be saved?" He was listening to the prayers, and he was listening to the worship. He was listening to the hymns. He was listening to the song. "What must I do to be saved?" I want to be saved. He also saw the foundations and all that other stuff too. I want to be saved. Wouldn't it be awesome if more people would just come around and say, what do I got to do to get saved? I think some of it is because people aren't praising out in the community. People aren't praying out in the community. They're not seeing the works of God. We want them to come in church and be a part of this. This is supposed to be for believers. So they said, it's very simple. If you want to know how to lead someone to Jesus, go to the scriptures. Believe on the Lord. Who? Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. and you will be saved. You and your household. And people say, how can a family be all saved in one day? Because it's the power of God. The Bible says nothing is impossible before God. Nothing is possible with God. Me, my brother, my mother, and my father were saved all on the same day. Somebody laughed about that one time, and God showed me when I was very, very young, this scripture right here. Don't let anybody tell you that your family can't all be saved. Scripture tells us that a whole family can be saved in one moment. That's awesome. That's the power of God. And then he says, then they spoke with the word of the Lord to him and all who were in this house. So they began to share. Now, listen, they're not in the prison right now. They're moving on over to the house. They're treating him in an amazing, awesome way. And he took them with the same that same hour of the night, and they washed their stripes. The people of the jailer's house, that family is washing the wounds on their backs. God is amazing. I'm telling you, at that moment, I don't think those wounds hurt those guys. I think if there was any tears flowing, it was because of the awesomeness of God's mercy. Not on them, but on the jailer and his family. You see, the cost, it didn't cost this jailer anything for his salvation or his family, but it cost Paul and Silas stripes on their own back, a beat down, and thrown into jail. So it cost them a lot. It cost the jailer nothing. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. That's awesome. What's a big baptism at night? Yeah, it's great. And then when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. Not the jailhouse food, but food. Mama cooked this food. This homegrown, home cooked. God has a way of blessing us too. When we're going through hard times, God still finds ways of showing his mercy and his blessings. And he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Did you see? There's a word that's awesome in here. They rejoiced. They were happy. They were excited. There was a change in the jailer's house. God had a vision, and he gave it to Paul. He said, go to Macedonia. There's a man. Help us. Come, help us. Who knew it would be some guy who ran the jailhouse? A moment of getting a prisoner. I'm putting you in the middle. I'm putting you in the middle of the jail because you can't get away, and I'm putting you in the darkness. But God miraculously, awesomely moved. And hours later, this man was on his knees. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. And that very hour, they were also baptized. God does an awesome work in the midnight hour. I see this story as a great piece that we all can learn from. Having a heart for lost people. One, just going wherever God tells you to go and be obedient. But it just might cost you. It might cost you a lot. But I believe this also. We were all once the jailer. We were once the jailer. And there was also a moment where we went and we fell down upon our knees. And we called out to Jesus and said, save us. And we stood up and we fellowshiped with these new people, whoever it was. And we found out that we ended up and we got baptized. And then our household was changed. And then we become the new Paul and the new Silas. And we're supposed to help others. that were just like us. Just like us. Paul could probably out-tell his bad stories more than the jailer about when he, before he was saved, when his name was Saul. I think he could relate with the jailer, just like we can relate with those who are lost. Let's go ahead and stand. My heart for you tonight is to understand that that people still need the Lord, and we need to have a heart for that. Father, Lord, as we go to you in prayer in this moment, Lord, many of us have taken cards to remind us that we are to share the gospel. We made a commitment to share the gospel with someone this year. Some have made a commitment, Lord, not to give up until they lead someone to Christ this year. Father, my heart, Lord, I have three. Because I want to see people come to Christ. But I know that sometimes it's not just a sitting down and sharing the gospel, but sometimes it's going to cost. And that cost could be in many different ways, but sometimes there is a cost in helping someone. I pray, Father, Lord, that we would see the bigger picture and hear the man and the vision. Come to us and come help us. And I pray, Father, we'd see that man, that woman that needs you, and we would be obedient and follow you. Lord, in these next few moments, may we just do what your Spirit calls us to do, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.